Open your Bibles with me to Psalm 5. We'll read it together. You should have a Bible underneath your chairs in front of you. Mine has a lot of writing, and I have more mature eyes, so I have to take off my glasses to see. Okay, Psalm 5, please read it with me in whatever translation you're reading it, but starting in verse 1, we'll read it through, and then we'll go verse by verse, okay, just like we do. Father, we thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, we thank you that it is rich and deep. We ask that only what you want said and taught would come out today, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would bless your people, that you would challenge your people, that you would encourage your people, that you would correct your people, that whatever you want done by the power of your Holy Spirit would be said through your precious word, Lord God. So open our hearts, open our minds to whatever you want said to us. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Miss Lisa, would you please check the AC? Make sure it's at like refrigerator level. Okay. All right. So let's start off. Psalm 5, verse 1. It starts off, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you, and I wait in expectation." Verse 4 continues, "You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. You are, with you the wicked cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all those who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors. But as for me, by your great mercy, will come into your house. In reverence, I will bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make straight your way before me. Not a word from their mouths can be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue they speak deceit. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall, or their craftiness be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." Now, for those of you who are just joining us in this Psalm 5, as we're going through this psalm, this is part of a time in David's life when things are bad for David. The kingdom has rose up against him, unfortunately led by his own son. His own son's been lying and slandering, manipulating people, half-truths. "Hey, why don't you follow me? I'm sorry that David doesn't have time for you. Sorry that King David doesn't care about you." You know how the enemy works. He always works with little lies, little deceit, and then spins everything his way. And so much so that his son Absalom, his own son, raised up an army and has kicked him out of the city. He's on the run. He's on the lam, and it's discouraging. It's depressing, and the people are turning against him, and he's heartbroken. He's crushed in his spirit. And Psalm 3, 4, and 5 are that we've been going through. It's like David crying out. So you're going to get some raw emotion in this, okay? You know, and we went over in Psalm 3. He's like, "Lord, shatter the teeth of the wicked." Pretty brutal, right? But he's like, "But I know you're merciful," you know. And so you're getting some of his prayers, his emotion. And it's almost like a song of prayer is what this psalm is. And it starts off for the director of music for flutes, a psalm of David. "Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for I pray to you." Now, here's a couple things if you're interested, okay? David is desperate and he's hurting, and I don't know if you've ever been there. And listen, if you haven't, can I just say, wonderful. I don't want to say, you know, you don't have to feel sad, but if you're walking with the Lord for any amount of time, attacks are going to come. People are sometimes, you might not know this, not so nice all the time. And the enemy is right there to turn people against you, right? Especially if you have a heart, genuine heart for the Lord. He's always working against you. Listen. And so David is desperate, but he knows who to cry out to. Who does he cry out to? The Lord God, right. And so listen, I'm here to tell you that sometimes in your Christian walk, you're going to have difficult times. You're gonna cry out. You're going to have those hard times. And there are some churches that will teach you that once you get saved, everything's rosy-posy. You prance through the posies the rest of your days, you know, singing zippity-doo-dah and just blessed. Listen, and you are blessed, and he will take you through every situation. But that doesn't mean you're not going to go through trials and tribulations and sometimes persecutions. In fact, God says all those who live godly lives are going to be persecuted. So it's going to happen, right? But when it says, listen, you see that in verse 1? Listen to my words, or give ear, some of your translations will say, give ear to my words. The Hebrew word is azan, and it literally means, this is kind of cool. It literally means to broaden the ears or to perk up the ears. Okay, and he's crying out. He's like, God, I want you to listen in Hebrew, that broaden the ears. It I don't know the best way to describe it. It's almost like It's almost like when you be going, what was that? What did you say? When you cup your ears so that you can hear a little bit, you're broadening the ears. Or perk up the ears. We still do. Have golden doodles. And we had Chewbacca, and he would just, we loved Chewbacca. And yeah, he was great. Anyway, and so, you know, he'd be all calm, but as soon as if you hear somebody outside, I don't know if you've ever seen a dog do this, you see the ears go, whoop, you see him like, you know, perk up. That's what that word means, azan. Perk up, listen, pay attention, perceive. I mean, he's saying, Lord, I really need you to hear me. I need you to perceive, discern. That's what the word means, azan, in Hebrew. Perceive, discern, hear my cry. You know, hear what I'm saying to you. Perk up your ears, you know. And then he says, consider my lament. The Hebrew word there is bein. And it means the same thing, deceive, preserve, understand it. I want you to understand it. So azan, perk up your ears, and then discern, consider it, perceive what I'm saying to you, hear my heart, consider my lament and my sighing. Now, some translations might use the word meditation, and that's okay, but it's not the best. The word in Hebrew for that word, the word in Hebrew is hagag, and it's used two times in the Bible, and it means, you know, a desperate cry. When it says, consider my lament or my sighing, it means a desperate whisper or groaning for help. And I don't know if you've ever been that sad. I can just say I have, where you've just been like, oh, Lord, I just can't take it. Lord, I just need your strength. Lord, I just need your help. You know, I don't got it in me, Lord. You know, will you help me, Lord? Please, you know, and you're almost like sighing to the Lord. You're groaning, right? That's consider my lament, consider my sighing, my desperate whisper, my groaning for help. And I'm whispering to the Lord, help me, Lord, please. But also it says in verse 2, he says, hear my cry for help. And that word cry, that in Hebrew is shava. And that actually means an out loud cry. So not only is he, and he's going through such desperate times, he's, Lord, please help me. You know, then, Lord, help! I need your help. I need your strength. I need your provision. And he's crying out to the Lord. He's just desperate for help. And God's going to meet him right where he's at. And I can tell you, as a person who's walked with the Lord for many years now, God meets you right where you're at in that time of desperation. Now, I'll be honest. Sometimes he doesn't do it on my timetable. See, I'm tend to be a little bit selfish and self-centered? I want it right that second. Okay, Lord, ready for the blessing. Oh, now I'm going to stretch a little bit more, Pastor D. He didn't call me Pastor D, so I did. I'll stretch a little bit more. Oh. And my faith grows when he comes through again, and I'm blessed, and I'm encouraged, and I'm strengthened. So sometimes he won't do it the exact timing that you want, or maybe even the way, but he will always come through for you. And then it says, I love this, hear my cry for help, my King and my God. For you I pray. This is important. It says, my King. If you have a Bible and you underline or highlight, take a little pen, take a little highlighter. You should always bring, and if you do that kind of thing in your Bible, highlight that. My God, my King. Because our Lord is the King of Kings, right? He is God. But there's a personal pronoun there, my. It's a relational pronoun. You can say he is the King, but can you say he's my King? See, when you make that differential, I don't know how to say this right. When you change your thinking from thinking he's the King to he's my King, everything about how you live starts to change. And it's just how it is. It's personal. It's real. It's relational. And he starts to govern your life. He starts to, before I got saved, even though I would go to church and even though I would do some good things, do you know who was the real King of my life? I was sitting on throne. I basically decided what part of scriptures I wanted to obey, what part of scriptures I thought was okay, I was the King. Well, when you now say, my King, Lord, you're saying I am bending my knee to you, and now I want to find out what your word says, because I'm now going to bend my knee to what your heart desires, what your purpose is for my life, not what I want in my life. See, that's the difference between him being the King and my King. Does that make sense? And that will change everything. I'm sorry?
We're making it personal.
We're making it personal, yes, and we're making it real. Now, the good news is we'll see if I can actually get back up again. But you'll see this throughout Scripture with anybody who is really following the Lord. You'll see it in Psalm 23, and maybe you haven't noticed these things before, but you see it in Psalm 23, where it says, in Psalm 23:1, it says, killing me. George, are you alive? Would you bring this back to George for me? Oh, let me try one more. Oh, now let's see. I guess he is alive now. Now we know he's alive. That's good. Would you bring that back to him? I don't know. So it says in Psalm 23:1, it goes and starts, and everybody knows that psalm, and it's a beautiful psalm, and everybody cares, but it starts off, the Lord is
my,
right. He can be the shepherd. He is the shepherd. But once you say he's my shepherd, then you need to start aligning your will with his will. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what a born-again relationship with Jesus Christ is. You're saying, I'm not the King of my life. Now, sometimes, you know, as we're growing in the Lord, we one-cheek it. One cheek it, do you know what I mean? If this is the throne, okay, and I'm on it, and I say, okay, I'm going to make, Lord, you're my shepherd. Here you go, have the seat. It's your throne. I'm just here to do your will. And then let me just sit back. I just want one cheek on there. I just want to be on the throne a little bit, you know, just on the corner. And he's like, nope, that's not really the place you need to be. Okay, Lord, right. You're the King. You're God, You're the one. He says, you're, he says in the Old Testament, he says, you're my rock. He says, you're my fortress. You're my deliverer. This is in Psalm 18:2. He says, you're my God. You're my rock. You know, and in you I take refuge. You're my shield. And you're the horn of my salvation. You're my stronghold in Psalm 18:2. Do you hear that personal in there? My rock, my shield, my deliverer, my. It's all very personal and it's very real. Okay. So we're going to go on. Did we forget the clicker? Okay. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. In the meantime, I'm just going to read it, and then we'll try to catch up with my really cool slides later. Okay, so he says, my King and my God, to you I pray. And then he goes on to say in verse 3, he says, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. So here's what I can tell you and what I've learned. We're all wired differently. How many of you are more night owls? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you are early morning risers? Okay. It's about half and half. All right. So I'm a night owl. I go to bed around midnight, one. That's me. Unfortunately, I have to get up early anyway sometimes, but that's who I am. And so sometimes, you know, getting up early and doing devotionals, my wife's a great example. She'll get up early. She'll do her devotionals in the morning. My son Elijah will do the same thing. And it kind of helps me. I used to do that all the time. And I was like, oh. And before you hit your phone, unless you're going to do your devotional, before you check the news, before you hit the radio, before you do whatever you're going to do, I want to encourage you in the morning, right, to talk to the Lord, to speak to the Lord. What I found is you can do devotions, right, at the end of the day. But usually when you do it at the end of the day, at least for me, I'll just say for me, here's what I find. There's going to be a word there, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I screwed up today. I didn't do that. I messed up, and I'm apologizing. Whereas if I read it in the morning, then God gives me the manna for the day. He gives me what I need for that day, and I can just go on, and I'm like, oh, and he sets my tone for the day. Do you have a microphone we can give to that young lady back there? Yeah, thanks. If you have a question or...
I didn't see a hand.
When you said in the morning,
yeah,
not everybody gets up at the same time, and that's okay, because in the morning, David says, yeah, you hear my voice.
Yes.
11:58 in the morning is morning. Yeah. 12:01 in the morning,
touché,
is morning.
Yes.
So it's just when you arise,
yeah,
that's give that first.
The goal in the, is right. That's
the first,
first thing
fruits,
in your mind. Yes.
The first fruits
you're
of your life.
You're setting your tone
to
for
God.
The day. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Good word. Good word. So my.
George is going to have to do it.
Okay. George, you're going to have to do it? Okay. All right. Then you're going to have to pay close attention, my good friend. All right. Yeah. Next one. Yep. Next. Next. Oh, yeah, this is more. This is from the last one with my King. Sorry, John 10, excuse me, 14 and 27. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. My sheep listen to my voice. Isn't that awesome? You know, when I was in Israel, I will tell you, they have these Bedouins, and they live out in the desert, right? And there's all these different shepherds and sheep, and you think they're all mixed together. I'm like, how are they ever going to know? And these Bedouins each have their own, these shepherds have their own special call. And whatever, I won't do the call because I don't embarrass myself. But they'll do this on the separate call. And each Bedouin shepherd, right, when they make the call, all their sheep know that voice. And they come right to them. It's really cool. Your good shepherd, Jesus, know your voice. And next one, he says, I know them and they follow me. All right, good. Thank you. Again, please. Well, I hate not being in control of this. Yeah, thank you. So it says, in the morning. All right, there's a couple of things. This is a quote. All right, next one, please, George. Thanks. It says, James Hudson Taylor says this. Hudson Taylor, who's a missionary, he says, do not have your concert first and then tune your instruments afterwards. Begin the day with the word of God and prayer and get, first of all, into harmony with him. Doesn't that make sense? Right? Don't do the concert first and then tune the instruments. Get your heart ready for that. Here's a couple of scriptures I really liked from the Psalms. This is Psalm 143:8. It says, cause me to hear your loving kindness. Now, again, we're not legalistic, okay? I'm not saying everybody has to live, but you're setting the tone for the day. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. There's another psalm that says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me, right? Next slide, John. And that word seek me early in Hebrew, it's the same word, is shakar. And that means to seek me diligently. It means to seek me early in the morning, to look for early. And God's saying, I want you to do that, guys. I want you to start your thoughts not on worldly stuff, not on your own stuff, but on me. And I'm going to set the tune for the rest of the day. Here's another scripture. This is in Psalm 63:1. It says, O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Again, you see, early, early, early. Now, don't think I'm not bashing you over the head, but let me tell you what is so true. Our own flesh and the enemy is always trying to distract you so you won't get into the Word of God for yourselves, right? And if you think you're going to do it later, can I tell you what happens at least a majority of the time to me?
Later never comes.
What was that?
Later never comes.
Later never comes. Start it off. In fact, make it a little challenge for you. I don't want to say before your coffee. I don't want to be stoned here. But before you do anything else, the TV, the radio, the paper, the news, the game, the text, the emails, the what?
Bathroom.
The bath, whatever. Start off with the word and start renewing your mind, right? And we're not here to get more information. We're here to get transformation, right? That's what God does. Here's not me. This is Charles Spurgeon, okay? He said this. He says, getting with God in the morning. He says, this is the fittest time. So it's not me, it's him. You can get mad at him for connecting with God. He says, an hour in the morning is worth two in the evening. While the dew is on the grass, let grace drop upon your soul. Isn't that great? Yes, Pastor, you have something you want to say?
Yeah.
Please do.
I don't have the microphone.
Oh, yeah.
I stumbled into starting the day with the Lord. And that's been one of the best things, and it's been true for nearly 39 years now. And I've also found that by going to the Lord with previewing the day ahead of me, and that the day goes a whole lot smoother and better, and he tells me what to do with the day, and that I can't encourage what Pastor Darren said. This is key stuff.
Listen, there was a time when Jesus, in the gospel, we went through the book of Mark. I don't know if you remember, it was in Mark chapter 1. But Jesus was healing people. He was driving out demons. He was preaching the word. The whole town was coming to him till late at night. And you would think, just like you guys, you know what I see here? I saw many, many people who were up, served all day yesterday, right? I know they did. They worked hard. And you know what? They could have, it's not legalism here, they could have stayed home. But you know what? They're here serving today. It says a lot about you guys and your maturity. It's amazing. And so it says, instead of sleeping in, if I was, I'd be like, oh, Lord, you know, I ministered to late, the wee hours. I'm just going to just sleep, Father God. But Jesus said, no, it says very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and he prayed. He went off to a solitary place to pray. And then all the disciples were like, they went looking for Jesus, where are you? Your people are waiting for you. And he's like, you know what? I prayed and we're supposed to go somewhere else. And God directed him to go to another town. And so seeking God early is going to give you direction, correction, encouragement, inspiration, whatever. And so it's something we need to do. And then it says, if you look at verse 3, the last sentence, it says, right, I'll lay my request before you and I'll wait in expectation. I am not a good waiting person. I used to be a waiter, but I'm not a good waiting person. And so George, this is going to be, hit the next slide. When it says I'm going to wait, that doesn't mean we're sitting around doing nothing. We're still loving the Lord, serving the Lord in any way that we can. We're trusting in his timing. So when it says to wait, I'm going to lay my request for you, and I'm going to put on my PJs, kick up. No, it means, here's what wait means. There's a little thing for it. I don't know, what cross stick? What do you call these? Cross stick? All right, here. Okay, next, George. Look. First is watch. While you're waiting, the first one is watch. Watch God work his way in the situation. So as you're expectantly waiting, some people pray and then you expectantly wait to see. I'm waiting, I'm watching. Micah 7:7 says this, but as for me, I watch and hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior, right? And because I know he's going to hear me. The second thing is in wait, it says ask. Okay, the A would be for ask. Matthew 7:7, right? And you ask God to help in his way and in his timing. The Bible says in Matthew 7, it says, ask, right? And it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And that knocking means continually knocking, right? And that door will be opened. The I in wait, which is the next one, is invite, right? Invite the Lord to work in you and through you while you're waiting. You prayed, Lord, this is what I need, this is what I want. Ask him to work through you, right? Invite him. Psalm 139 says this. It says, search me, O God. I'm inviting you. You know me. Search my heart. Know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way within me, Lord. And lead me in the way everlasting. So I'm inviting him. And the last thing in wait is to trust. And that's trust God to fulfill his plans. Right? We're to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct our paths. Yes. Psalm 5:4 continues and says this. Sorry, I'm so used to it. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. Okay. With you, the wicked cannot dwell. Oh, Pastor, I brought a guest here. What are you doing? That seemed a little harsh. Well, it may be harsh, but it's the truth. Listen, holy means set apart. When we were singing holy, it means he's set apart. And you know, God says we're to be holy like he's holy. That means we're to be set apart. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, right? But we're going to want to be more like him. Because the Bible makes it pretty clear. This is a doozy. This is Proverbs 2:22. It says, the wicked will be cut off from the earth, right? And the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Listen, there's a heaven and a hell. I know that's not popular in a lot of churches today, but that's what it says, right? And I don't know, I used to do computer work. I used to own a computer company before I left it. I actually walked away from my computer company for the ministry, and I left everything. But when we would do that, back in those days when dinosaurs roamed the earth and computers were a lot slower, they used to have cables to connect everything, right? They still do that in your routers? Do you know your routers in your house, right? There's still a cable that goes into your router, right? At least most. Okay. Well, you know what happens? What'd you say?
It's still really popular with corporations and stuff.
Yes. Yes, okay, yeah. Well, what would happen is if you ever cut that cord, there'd be no connection. And if you don't go home and try this because you won't like it. If you go to your router and cut that cord, let me tell you, there's not going to be any connection. So that's the end result. If you want to be king on that throne, if you want to rebel against the Lord, you want to go your way instead of God's way, well, you can cut yourself off if you want, but I recommend you don't do that. It goes on to say in Psalm 5:5-6, it says, the arrogant cannot stand in your presence because he's holy, he's righteous. You hate those that do wrong. It goes on to say, I forgot. It's the first part of that. Yeah, sorry. You cannot stand in your presence and you hate all those who do wrong. So here's two things. Thanks. It reminds me of Psalm 1:5. And when I first read Psalm 1:5, I was a little confused. What does it mean to stand, right? Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment. I thought, what does that mean? So that means they're not going to be judged? No. Okay, next slide, George. That word stand in Hebrew, qualm, it means to stand upright, to arise in a hostile sense. It means to abide, continue, endure. In other words, the wicked, you're not going to be able to go to God and say, hey, I did this for God, I did that, I think I should be. You're not going to be able to stand. Listen, you can either realize that, you know, we're all sinners, we're all in need of a Savior, and you can realize that right now, right? Or you can rebel against him. I'm stand against him. I'm not going to go his way. I'm going to go my way. But you're going to face judgment, and it's not going to be good, right? No. And I hate to say this, but the Lord does hate some things. Oh, Pastor, I can't believe you said that. Isn't God all love? Well, he hates what's evil. Listen, and he should, honestly. When I look at that, you know, God hates evil. It's not, I'm not going to be kind of wishy-washy on that. And we shouldn't dismiss it or make light of it. God hates evil. And it's a destructive force in the world. It destroys people's lives. It takes captive people for hell. That's what evil does. And God hates that. And we should hate that as well. The Bible says that there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that rush into evil, and a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict or strife in the community. And we should hate evil too. The next scripture verse I have in here is Romans 12:9. It says, love must be sincere. We're to hate what's evil, not hate people, right? I didn't get saved till 30, right? I'm so glad people didn't hate me. They loved on me. They hated the sin, and they knew what it was doing to me and what it did to the Lord. But we're to love what's good, hate what's evil. Go on to the next one, George, will you? It says you're going to destroy those that tell lies. Did you know the Bible says some strong things about lying? It says that Satan is the father of lies. So all those lies come from him. It says that Jesus is the truth, right? He's the way, the truth, and the life. So everything true comes from him. So he's not so great with the lying, right? He's going to destroy those. And the bloodthirsty and deceitful, it says, Lord, you detest. Next one, George. Thanks. It says, the Lord detests lying lips. That's a strong word. Detests lying lips, but delights in those who are truthful. That's Proverbs 12:12. Revelation 21:8 says that all those folks, including all liars, are going to be in the lake of fire. And as far as being destroyed, if you want to shake your fist at God and stand against him and say, I'm not going to do it your way, I'm going to do it my way, that's your choice. He's not going to make you, but there's going to be a consequence. And destroy is a strong word, but look at this next verse. Look at this next verse. Psalm 37:38 says, but all sinners will be destroyed. There will be no future for the wicked. you're going to be cut off. Listen, and I'm not here to discourage anybody. What I'm trying to encourage you to do is to turn to the Lord, right? How much time have I been teaching, Pastor?
I'm 45.
All right. All right. Psalm 5, 7. But he realized, here's the contrast. Listen to what he's saying. But I, Lord, because of your great mercy, I come to you and I bow down to you, Lord. I bend my knee to you. You're my king. You're my God, right? And that's the good thing about the Lord. If you will humble your heart and just admit you're a sinner and that you need salvation, you need his grace for the day, you need his mercy for the day, he's willing to give it to you. I love what Hebrews says in Hebrews 4:16. He says, we can come as Christians. Once we accept him, receive him as Lord and Savior, he says, we can now boldly come to the throne of our gracious God, because there we're going to receive his mercy and his grace when we need it most. Isn't that beautiful? Psalm 5:8 continues. It says, lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. David has everybody hating on him, turning against him, and he's like, oh, lead me. And we have a good shepherd that will do that. Psalm 139, search me, O God. Know my thoughts. Lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 143:10 says this. It says, teach me to do your will. Are you teachable? That's a good question. A lot of people are teachable up to the time when they're not. Like, you can teach me anything you want, something about this. We don't talk about this, right? If he's your king, if you're saying he's my king, that means it includes everything, okay? And sorry, go back one. George, would you mind? George, would you go back? Thanks. It says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. And then it says in that same verse, in that Psalm 5:7, sorry, I'm having a hard time with my, give me a second. I'm used to having my control. Verse 7, it says, and because make straight your way before me. And that's just making everything, clearing the way, right? Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. It doesn't say, in some of your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. In how many ways?
Oh.
Right. It goes on to say this in the next psalm, Psalm 5:9. Not a word from their mouths can be trusted. David's crying out. He's like, all these guys I thought were my friends, they're turning on me. They're taking these halves. They're believing the lies. He says, their hearts are filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave, and their tongues just tell lies. And then Psalm 5:10 continues. It says, declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Or some of your translations might say their craftiness. They're laying traps for him. They're trying to catch him. They're looking to torpedo this guy. Banish them for their many sins, for they've rebelled against you. Listen, they're not just rebelling against David. God anointed David, and they're rebelling against God. And he's saying, look at all these people that they're ambushing him. They're laying traps for him. They're hunting him down. And this is what I hate to say this, but that sometimes will happen to you. People are set, they'll set you up. They're trying to trap you. They're trying to trick you. Or the enemy's playing in their head, right? And it's a sad time. But I love what this Proverbs 26:27 says. Oh, go back one, George. Thanks. It says, if you set a trap for others, you will get caught in it yourself. If you roll a boulder down on others, it will crush you instead. This is what I can tell you. I love that. God will avenge you. You don't have to repay evil for evil. Here's what my flesh wants to do. Let's say, Natalie, you did something to me. You know what I want to do? Get her back. Sarah, you said something about me. You know what I want to do? I want to say something. I just tell you, you know what to do? and give it to the Lord. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those. You know, sometimes you have to cut them off. Okay, God bless you. I'll let you stand over there. You can be over there. Let God take care of these things. The shirt, right? Romans 12, right? It says God is my avenger, right? It's not for me to repay, right? It's up to God. Okay, next. I think we're almost done, guys, so hang out with me. And thank you guys for struggling, even though we're having all technical difficulties. We're getting through this okay? Are we okay?
Yeah.
All right, thank you for being patient with me. I feel a little out of sorts. So you're not getting a lot of Hebrew words in my notes, but doing my best I can. Psalm 5:11 goes on to say, "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy." I love that. Next. I love that. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Hold it here for a second. The things I want you to remember from this verse in 5:11, if you underline things, take refuge. Those who take refuge in you will be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. And that says spread your protection over them. So refuge, joy, protection, I think are the key words in this verse. And I can tell you that we're all going to experience these trials. But if you will trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding, you'll discover, just like this little picture here, he's going to be like a shield for you, right? He's going to put you in a protective bubble, if you will, right? In the middle of the storm. It doesn't mean that you're going to escape the storm completely or you won't have any trouble, right? That would be a lie. But this is what Psalm 9:9 says. I love it. The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed. Can you see this scripture picture? When I made it, it took me a while to find this one, but she's in a protective bubble. Do you see that? In the middle of the storm. And this is what I've seen in my life. I'm a little tired of the storms. Right? Maybe you are too. Right? But what I've noticed is that God always sees me through it. Right? He protects me even in the storm. Do you remember when Jesus, right, when he told his disciples, hey, we're going over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, right? And then you remember that story, right? The storm came up, the wind started blowing, the rains, right? The boat started taking on water. And they started freaking out, these experienced fishermen. We're going to die. You're going to die. And Jesus is just like napping. Because he's like, I told you. I gave you my word. I'm going to see you through. We're going to go over to the other side. I didn't say we're going under to the other side. I said we're going over. Right? And he's like, they woke him up and they're like, Jesus, don't you care about us? And I don't know Jesus' expression. But I'm sure he was like, okay, he got up, peace, be still. This is how the Darren paraphrased, but guys, didn't I give you my word? When are you going to start up? And sometimes I feel that way with me. Like he's shown me so many, I've seen so many miracles. I don't even know where to begin. And then sometimes then I'm like, then another storm comes. I'm like, Lord, don't you care about? And I'm right back at the boat. But this is what he does for us. You cry out to him. You make him your refuge, your ever-present help in times of trouble. This is who he will be in the worst storm. And you can trust him no matter what. Amen? Amen. And you know what? More than that, God will have you, once you come out of that storm, you'll be singing for joy. Like this next scripture says. This is Psalm 90, verse 14. Satisfy us each morning with your unfailing love so we may sing for joy to the end of our lives. Listen, the worst, here's something to think about. If you're rebelling against the Lord, your eternity, the best you're ever going to have, right here, right now. No wonder you take whatever you can get. Screw over whoever you can. Who cares? This is the best you're going to ever have. For us, the best is yet to come. For us, right? The best day here is nothing. because we've got a joy through the end of our lives. And then it said that he would be a shield of protection. And God, our Lord Jesus, man, God's name is a place of protection. This is the Message. This is a paraphrase version, but I like how it said it. Proverbs 18:10. God's name is a place of protection, and people can run into it and be safe. If you don't know anything else, you're struggling, you just, Jesus, help me. I don't know anything else. I don't know all the stuff he's talking about, Hebrew word, Greek word. You know what you can do? Jesus, help me. Sometimes that's all I got. And what's really amazing is he'll meet you right where you're at. And then the last verse we can close out in Psalm 5:12 is this. He says, surely the Lord. This is a beautiful promise, right? He's going through the grinder. And listen, I hope you're not, but maybe some of you here are, and you're struggling. And you feel like, man, I'm just going through the meat grinder right now. Lord, he's going to see you through it. And this is what he says in Psalm 5:12. Surely, Lord, you will bless the righteous. You will surround them with your favor as with a shield. I don't even know if I should. Nah, Lord, tell me not to share that. But you each will have illustrations in your own life. And I'll keep this up for a while. I think it's just a good picture. Listen, it doesn't matter, you know, how dry it is out there, how much the world hates you, others hate you, how much nobody understands you. The Lord knows you. You're wonderfully made. He cares about you. He's showering you with blessing even in the midst of that storm. And sometimes even when he doesn't, right? Okay, I'm going to tell you one. Give me one more minute for a quick story, right? So our house is getting a little bit older, right? And so we've got some leaks, and I was saying, we need a roof. And we're like, oh, man, that's going to be expensive, right? And so, you know, I'm like, oh, Lord, how are we ever going to, you know? Like, he hasn't provided, you know. And he's always provided. And I was like, Lord, how are you going to? And the pool cage, you know, from the last hurricane. And, you know. And so how are we going to afford it? How are we going to save up? And somebody's like, and so we had called out a few people. And they're like, the insurance isn't going to cover this. Okay. And then somebody else said, hey, listen, why don't you just call them and just have them come out? I said, okay. And I did. And sure enough, man, they're going to replace the whole roof. And the whole pool, and here I've been stressing over it for months and months and months. And then all of a sudden, boop, what? It's dropped in our laps. And I'm like, oh God, thank you. And so, listen, if you're in the middle of the grinder, the blessing is going to come. The Lord is going to surround you with his favor like a shield, even in the midst of the trial. And you'll be saying, praise the Lord. You know, even if it's a sacrifice of praise right now, give him thanks anyway. Trust him, even in the darkest days. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I want to say thank you that you're so good to us, Lord God. I know that you use trials and these tribulations, Lord, to mature us so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything, Lord God. I thank you that we can learn to trust you even in our darkest days, just like David, Lord God. And we can cry out to you because you hear our cries, Lord God. You care about us, Lord God. I pray in Jesus' name that you would meet every single person right where they're at, Lord God. You know the cry of their heart. You know that desperate plea, Lord, whether it's a quiet whisper that nobody can hear but you, Lord, or it's an out loud cry for help, Lord. You hear their cries, Lord. Would you meet them? Would you help them? Would you supply all their needs? My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, Lord. I ask that you would do that for them. I pray in Jesus' name that you help each one of us to get to know you better, to love you, so that we can come to the point where we say, you are my God, you are my King, you are my Savior, you are my Lord, you are my friend, Lord. And I pray that blessing on every single person here and on the people who listen online, Lord. Thank you for them, Lord God. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a great week in Jesus' name, guys.